My novel, Finding Home, is available for purchase on February 20th in everywhere that books are sold. One reader called it a spiritual experience embedded in pure drama. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. Tell a fantastic story, but reveal all the layers of spiritual truth that were in the prodigal son parable when Jesus told it. But we miss it with our Western eyes. You will be amazed at the Father's incredible love for you. You can find out more on my website, susankmacias.com/finding-home. Thanks for joining me for season 5 of the We're Not Done Yet podcast. This is Susan Macias, and I'm so glad you're here as we talk about how we can serve the Lord, how we can serve our communities and each other. Because if we're not home yet, we're not done yet. I am so excited about this episode of the We're Not Done Yet podcast. I have a very special guest here, and it's my cousin.
Yay!
Karen Walthall is here. Thank you, Karen.
So happy to be here. I'm excited to do this with you, Susan.
This is fun. This is very different. But Karen had a great experience this summer, and I can't wait to share it with you all. So we're talking on the We're Not Done Yet podcast, in many ways about how at our age that we are not done. We're not done with serving the Lord. We're not done with the kingdom. And this past summer, you went on a mission trip. And so that just really inspired me. Tell me about your motivation in going on that trip.
Well, it actually was the second mission trip that I had been on overseas. But I truly feel led that I'm at a stage in my life, being retired, where I have the time and I have the energy and I can go. And once I put all the fears behind me, the fear of what do I say and the fear of the unknown and the fear of travel or whatever might have held me back, it was one of the best experiences I've ever done and so fulfilling, not only for me, but for the witnessing that you saw around you and the fellowship that you had with other Christians. It was amazing.
So if someone is thinking about, you know, there's a mission trip that they have an opportunity to do, but they're thinking, I don't know, I mean, it seems uncomfortable, or maybe I'm too old, what would you say?
Go. Absolutely go. I will say in the culture that I went to in the country, and it was all the way across the other side of the world, they revere age. So there was even an opportunity in one evening where they said, we need the oldest people in here. The oldest people on this trip to lead this particular experience. And so to be honored for my age and expected to share because of my age was really a sweet thing. Here in the U.S., I'm not sure that we honor in our culture older people. And yet other places in the world, they truly do.
Yeah. So think if it was only the college students that were there, then it'd be like, well, where are your elders?
And there was such a sense of respect. And they put a lot of thought into what we were saying. And they asked questions that were very respectful. But it wasn't for that. It was fun. It was fun to be able to share and fun to be able to go. And I would say for those that are uncomfortable, yes, you're out of your comfort zone. You're not sitting at home. You're not in front of your TV. You're not eating the same food. You are traveling, usually, you know, distance of some kind on the plane, but nothing compared to Paul or some of those other. I mean, my little travel is nothing, and the foods I got to eat. So it's an experience that you will treasure in your mind as you think back on and go, how could I not go?
Yeah, that's so good. And we're going to not reveal the actual country that Karen went to. And that's on purpose because she's going to share some great stories about some brave young ladies and their stories of encountering Jesus. But they're not safe where they are. I think sometimes our safety in being Christians in the United States can make us complacent. Mm-hmm. If you have to really make a decision to give everything, it cost everything to follow Christ, that's a whole nother thing. Did seeing that do anything to your own faith?
Oh, yes. Here in the United States, it's so easy to follow Christ. We can make a decision whether we want to go to church. We can make a decision whether we want to witness door to door or not. And that decision doesn't cost us our family. That decision doesn't cost us our friends. But the one young girl that she was talking about who witnessed to us while we were over there and told us her story, it cost her everything. And she was 19 years old.
Yeah. Okay. So Karen is going to share this amazing story. And when I read her account of this and heard her tell it, I was like, I want to share this with others. So, Karen.
All right. Well, it's an amazing story. This young woman stood up in front of us in a hotel room and shared her testimony. So she's 19 years old, and everything she was saying was being translated by the person who was there with her. So she lived in a Muslim household, was raised in a Muslim household all her life. Never thought about Jesus. This is her own telling. Never thought about Jesus, never really gave him any thought whatsoever until the night she had a dream. And in the dream, a man in white appeared to her, and the love and compassion and peace that she felt in the dream, when she woke up, she realized, I have to know more. I have to know more about who this is. And through Googling, she found that it could be, the man in white could be Jesus. And so that sent her on a little more deep dive into the Googling to realize, well, what is it about Jesus? And still was unsure. Did not agree that that could be it at all. Until she was sick, very, very sick, and in the hospital for 3 days. And during that 3-day period, the doctors could not figure out how to help her. She was very ill. Her mother was very concerned. She was there with her mom at the time. And her mom left to go to the store or go get something to eat. And the young girl decided she would pray. For the first time in her life, she would pray to Jesus and even looked on the internet with how to pray because she was unsure how to do that. So she's not a Christian at this point. And she prays to Jesus, if you're there, if you're real, will you please help me? And instantly she was healed. To the point that the doctors were floored, didn't know what to make of this. Her mother came back in the room and the girl did not tell her because, again, Jesus was not someone you talked about. But she knew that Jesus had healed her. So she leaves the hospital and very soon that week went to a local church where she knew the pastor lived next door and asked him to share with her about Jesus. And she's in her Muslim hijab. And he said, are you sure? Are you sure you want to learn more? And she said, I have to. I have to know more. Knowing he had healed her and remembering the dream. So she, that Friday, this was like a Tuesday, she went there that Friday. She went to her very first church service where she changed out of her hijab before into regular clothes, went to the service, and that night heard the message for the very first time, the gospel message, and became a Christian and gave her life to Christ. And what ensued were the next 3 or 4 months where she was learning about Jesus and following him, but doing it all in secret, hiding everything from her family, bought a Bible online, and then one day they found her Bible. And so when she came home that day, they were very upset and questioning her. And she's 19, and she said, oh, no, I don't know where the Bible happened. I don't know where it came from. She denied that it was hers. But this started very intense questioning by her family, very serious questioning, where her mother brought her to the local mosque to a religious leader there. And the idea was that they were going to chant, he was going to chant parts of the Quran to her over and over and over as he kind of walked around her, with the result being that she would throw up this evil spirit after, you know, he took care of things. So he's chanting, and in her head, she said, I was singing a Christian song to myself, and he's chanting as he walks around. Her mother is there, and my favorite part of the story, She does not get sick, but both the religious leader and her mother did. Both of them threw up.
God has a sense of humor.
Yes, he does. Yes, he truly does. It's, you know, if you were in other cultures, you would say, see God going, here, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Let's watch this. And so truly at that point, now they're very concerned. Her mother leaves there with her, brings her home, and invites over the family uncle. And the family uncle has a reputation for actually killing people who believe in Jesus. And he came to her after he questioned her whether or not it was her Bible, and she denied it. And he said, if I find out this is your Bible, I will kill you. And she believed it. So with help from her church, with help from another organization, she fled and is in hiding now, but serving God and Christ where she is. And when asked the most telling thing, because we asked, wow, you left everything. You left your family. You left your friends. You left your faith. You left everybody and everybody to follow Christ. How could you do that? And her response was, how could I not?
Mm.
So, such a powerful testimony from her. And it's so easy for us. We can honor God. We can worship God here in the United States, but it is not that way everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, for some people, they give up their life, but they also could give up everything else too.
Yeah. But that reality of her encounter with Jesus was such that she couldn't do anything else.
She couldn't. And now she's on fire.
Yeah.
She's on fire to serve Jesus, and she's on fire to serve God. And so when you look at that passion and what she had to give up, and I look at what I gave up, which was a plane ride, you know, the mm-hmm. comfort of my home for a week, it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing for me to go overseas and do the Great Commission, what God asks us all to do in His Word. We are all to share. And honestly, it's fun to get out there and realize, oh, I can keep up with these young people.
Yeah.
I can walk just as fast. I can go everywhere else. It's quite an experience.
Yeah. Did you feel like your view or understanding of the Lord grew?
Oh, absolutely. He's such a God of love. And for some people that we shared with, they'd never heard, as they said, these Jesus stories. They'd never heard about this Jesus, or they never heard about him at all. And so you think, if we don't go, if somebody doesn't share with them, how will they hear?
Mm-hmm.
And God wants everyone to be redeemed. And so this one young girl, another one she was at a Muslim market, very small little stalls, and we're sharing with her, and she very shyly said, oh, I've never heard this Jesus story. I've heard others, but I've never heard this one. And she's kind of trapped in this life of very young, selling at this market, and this is her life for the rest of her life that you can foresee for her. And she realizes that, and her eyes are just so sad. And so as we're sharing with her, other people are circling us because they didn't necessarily want us sharing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, God just laid it on my heart to tell her, you know, God has sent me a long, long way to tell this to you, that he loves you and he cares for you and he has not forgotten you. And she sobbed.
Mm.
She just was sobbing as we left. Now, the missionaries will go back and meet up with her again. So mm-hmm. it's not the end of the story for her. But she did not feel love like that before. She felt hopeless. And just to give her a little hope, mm-hmm. maybe that's why I'm there.
Yeah. Well, I think of in Romans 10, it says, how will they know if no one tells them?
It's so true. And we have that in the United States too. Mm-hmm. We have people who are lost and we don't want to talk about Jesus, but it's so easy. Over there, we would just say, hey, you know, I'm here from America. I'd love to learn about your culture. I'd love to learn about your country. I love it here. It's beautiful. Would you share with me? And they're so open to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lead into, oh, so where do you go to church? And, you know, how do you worship? And it's such an easy thing to tie into. There's also that verse in Exodus, I believe it's Exodus 4:12. And it gave me such comfort. And it says, now then go, just go. And I will give you the words you are to say. So it's not up to me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't up to me. It's God that gives us the words to say to whoever we're visiting with. And he will use that.
Mm-hmm.
In all our mess ups, he will use that.
He will use it. So if you are facing an opportunity to go on a mission trip, then listen to these stories. What an amazing experience you've had. And then you get to share the story.
Yes, yes. You get to share the story. And we're connected now with the missionaries overseas. May I share the one
with
my dad?
Yeah.
Okay, so talk about God using this experience. My dad recently was in hospice. And the day before his last day here on earth, before he went to heaven, one of his friends from church came to see him, and he was still lucid at this point and still talking. And I left the room so they'd have some time. But when I came back in, the gentleman that had come to see my father was talking about his son and daughter-in-law who were overseas serving in the mission field. So as I kind of walked him out, I said, oh, you know, I just got back from a mission trip. And he went, where? And so I told him, and it was the exact city and place where his son and daughter-in-law were serving. And, you know, there's times in your life where you go, okay, yeah. I'm a little slow to the uptake, but.
And they were really struggling with where they were.
They were really struggling. They were new missionaries in the mission field and have young children, and they were struggling where they were. So I knew that this was a God appointment, that he had brought this man to me to try to help this missionary couple. And the way I asked him, I said, well, I'm going to reach out to the other missionaries over there and see if maybe they can help. Maybe they can reach out to your son and daughter-in-law and they can help, you know, give them some comfort and be some support for them. Well, it turns out not only did they know each other, they were in the same Bible study all the way across the world. So if nothing else, God used me to be able to set up more support for this young couple, use this mission trip to have the connection to meet this man at my dad's bedside, to offer support for this young Christian couple across an ocean.
Yeah.
How do we know?
Yeah, because those local missionaries didn't know that they were struggling.
They had no idea that the young woman was struggling so much.
Yeah.
And so she went, well, I didn't realize. And now I'm going to step closer and really take her under my wing. And so maybe that was the reason God used me to go overseas. I don't know. But whatever it was, it's so worthwhile.
Yeah.
It's so worthwhile.
I think John Piper's the one that said, of the million things God is up to, we're aware of about three. You know, so he's not bound by space and time. And so he keeps using these things. But I love both of those things of saying, God loved that young Muslim girl so much that he sent you to tell her. And God loved that missionary wife so much that he sent you to make a connection to love on her. And so those details in our lives, he's a part of.
Well, and it's so humbling. You know, who am I? I'm no one.
Mm.
But I'm willing, and I'm willing to go. And so I think it just takes a willing heart.
Yeah.
And of course, God empowers you. And he's the one with prayer, and that he's the one that makes it happen. It's nothing I did. But it's all him. And to see his hand at work just increases my faith.
Yeah.
When you see something like that, you go, wow, okay. You know, it just makes it all the more powerful.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing today, because that is a faith increasing story. All three stories are faith increasing stories. And I hope that emboldens someone who's been sitting on the edge of going on a mission trip and thinking, who am I? I don't have the skills. God doesn't need your skills. He's skilled.
Yes.
We are never skilled. Even those of us who might look skilled, even those ones that we look at on TV, they're not even skilled. But God is skilled. He just wants us to go with him.
Yes.
Where he sends us. So like you said, and like God told Moses, just go. Just go.
Yes.
I'll be with you.
Just go. Don't worry about you. Because when I was worried before, it was all about me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when good. You put yeah. your focus on God and say, okay, God, I'm giving it all to you, everything, and I am just going. And then it's amazing to watch how he uses you.
Amen.
And who he brings you to.
Oh, that's so good. Thank you, Karen.
So fun, Susan. Thanks.